SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the
radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back, friends. It's hour two of In This League on Sports Grid with Bogman and the Welsh. That is us. Thank you guys for tuning in wherever you are tuning in, whether it's radio, on the internet, or on your phone, doing a little podcast action. Hour two is for the football. That is what we say, and it is not for Cam Akers. Cam Akers tore his Achilles, which is a brutal, maybe one of the more brutal that really any player can try to attempt to come back from. Young enough that it doesn't mean it's all over, but you know, you could be a notch away from Todd Gurley, who's 26 and is the oldest 26-year-old on the planet. Cam Akers was a pretty popular, like, high second round pick in upcoming fantasy, whether you're doing best ball or you're doing any of your season long stuff. And so much so, we talked about this on the fantasy football podcast on Friday, where we had our dear friend Joe Pizzapia on. I had shared with you not more than 12 hours before the news, a hot take, Bogman, where somebody said Cam Akers over Saquon Barkley. And then the next morning, I sent that to you late at night. The next morning, he's out for the year. And you're like, are you a freaking witch? This Cam Akers is out.
It was very strange. And like, for a second, I was like, did this happen yesterday? And I just didn't know it. Like, this is very weird. And then I saw, no, it was that morning he got hurt and you know, taken off the field and all that stuff. And it sucks, man. I love Cam Akers. I was really excited to see him in the NFL. Achilles stuff can completely screw up a career, so hopefully it won't. Hopefully he'll have, you know, having this happen in the off season, he'll have more than enough time to recover and get back to play next season. But you just never know. I know ACLs are they used to call them coin flippy. I think they're better than that now. I think they're 80-20. You know, it doesn't really wreck a career. Yeah. So he should be okay, but. Cam Akers with the Achilles is just brutal, man.
It's a brutal blow, but it also led to a much bigger, you know, debatable conversation, which we'll have. We'll extend. We did this on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast with Joe Pizzapia quite a bit, or just a bit, and we can extend the conversation a little bit more because Daryl Henderson moves into the next role. So whether you're best balling it or season longing it and preparing for even DFS, Daryl Henderson is the guy. It is not Cam Akers. And we'll talk about that on the other side right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In This League.
Patreon.com/ITLI. Yes, friendos, ITL is a Patreon, and we have had one for quite some time. And we've got lots of great stuff there, like updated ranks on baseball and football in all different categories, from dynasty to prospect in football to IDP and a whole bunch more. We've got live streams. We've got comedy secret shows just to make you laugh in our own little weird universe. And we've got GroupMe rooms that you can check out in all different sports, different topics. signing up today at patreon.com/ITL Army for as little as $5. You can get a decent amount of the stuff and you can upgrade even a little bit further to become a lieutenant or captain in the ITL Army. And when you do it, you're not only getting stuff, you're supporting Bogman and the Welsh and in this league. So we'd appreciate if you check it out, whether it's now, beginning of next month, whatever you got to do, come and sign up and be a part of our little IO universe that is in this league. Bugs, we're talking about Cam Akers, and it's kind of the big topic of fantasy football right now because it is the first big blow. And training camps, I think, were like just starting up. A couple are just starting up. And Cam Akers tears his Achilles. He's out for the year. And what it did, though, was spark the always debate that this always happens with of the backup. And this happens to be a unique situation where Cam Akers is a more talented player, but it's not that Daryl Henderson is not as much of a talented player. There, you know, the same argument is so hilarious that people give to every running back that gets drafted was the same argument that Daryl Henderson got. You know, when Todd Gurley was there, it was like, well, guess what? The Rams are not going to just take a running back in the second or third round and not do anything with him. And Daryl Henderson was that guy. And they've already kind of openly said that Daryl Henderson, they're going to let be the guy. And, you know, we'll know differently if they sign somebody. But where it went from hot take central to Cam Akers and all his crazy takes, him over Barkley and Cam Akers moving into a top guy and whatever it was. What is the nickname? The Warrior Dog or what was it?
War Daddy. Yeah.
War Daddy. He was War Daddy. All that fun stuff. It's now turned into a battle of, oh, hey, cool. Daryl Henderson now might be the feature back with some talent versus the people that say he's a loser and you're a loser for considering him even as a startable asset.
Am I that guy? Is that what I've been saying?
Your ranks treat him as if we are losers for considering him. And it's so funny because our boy Pisapia openly had this tweet where he was like, you know, public service announcement. You know, if you think Daryl Henderson is this, that, and the other thing, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. Let me remind you about all these things. Yet his take was against the extremists. His take was like, all you people that think he's an RB1 are stupid. He ended up having him at like 20, which is higher than I have him. And then Bogman comes along and you're just like, nah, I got him in the 30s. Like, you don't have the take that Joe has, but you don't have the rank. You don't like him.
And my tier, look, I'll just say this, the tier that I have, and I am at the bottom of the tier, but once again, you know, if you flip them between any of these guys, I'm okay with it.
But what is the top tier?
25. So I'm not, you know, if you take that into account, if you have him ranked at 25, I'm not going to bat an eye any higher than that. And I don't know what you're doing. Like, he's not an RB2 to me. And look, this offense for, I said St. Louis, for the Rams is going to be high powered, and Matt Stafford is going to come in and do some great stuff. And he fits with McVay very, very well. So I'm excited to see what they have. But honestly, you know, they gave Henderson a shot to back up Gurley. He couldn't even do that when he was there. Way more Malcolm Brown. And then when Gurley was gone, he had a chance to win the starting job, and he kind of did it. They really used three guys. Last year, he never really had maybe one, two big games last year, but he's just not getting whatever it is in McVay's system. I think there's other systems he could work out for. It's just not clicking with him. And maybe this is a year. Maybe this is a year he does it. He has the opportunity now, so I have to say that. But when I look at ranking him, I just go, okay, he's a guy I can move, right? Because you don't have to just put him in the top 20 and say, hey, he's playing for the Rams. The Rams offense is good, so therefore he's going to be a top back. No. You know, people were doing that last year with all kinds of guys in Jacksonville, and then a undrafted free agent becomes a starter there. And I think that is – I don't think it'll happen. I think, obviously, that Daryl Henderson has the front line on the starting gig, and if I had to bet on someone to lead the Rams in carries – it would be Daryl Henderson. But if Jake Funk or Xavier Jones or Raymond Calais come out there and look awesome in camp, and Daryl Henderson just hasn't picked it up from where he left off last year, dude ain't going to lead the team from week one. I think that's within the realm of possibility. So I just can't put him higher than an RB3 in any of my rankings. I just can't have it. So, you know, they say right now that they're not going to go out and sign a veteran Welsh. Sure, there's not many available.
But the minute they go trade for Marlon Mack, when Marlon Mack becomes a Ram, then you should be terrified.
Well, think about if they were in this position last year and Fournette gets cut, right? That they immediately pick up Fournette. So I'm not going to put all my eggs in the Darrell Henderson basket because I think the Rams offense is good. I do think the Rams offense is good. I do think he could be an integral part of that if he takes a next step. But on a being on the outside looking in, there's just no way I trust him to be any more than a flex. I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about it, and this is, I mean, I'm not meaning to rehash because, like I said, you're going to get some of this conversation on the most recent In This League Fantasy Football podcast. It was different because we got P2P on there. We get his take and we've talked about some of this. But what I find fascinating about the process is that things have not adjusted and there is no adjustment. All that you see is most places have just taken Cam Akers off. If you go to Fantasy Pros and you look at, you know, ADP, he's gone. But you haven't seen Darrell Henderson slide up. And you've
got
Henderson
up 17 spots. I had him at
50. Yeah, but you have it in the freaking 40s or something like that.
No, I got him at 33.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
33 to 25. That's the tier that I have him in. So I have him in a tier with guys like Melvin Gordon, Jamal Williams, Mostert. Those are my low guys here. Fournette, Javonte Williams, Chase Edmonds, Travis Etienne. I have him in that group. I think there's some good backs in that group.
And the adjustment is going to take some time. Like ADPs, if you go to Fantasy Pros ADP, he's in the 40s still. But the rankings have already adjusted, Fox. Do you know where he ranks in Fantasy Pros?
Henderson.
It's already been adjusted on their list.
Are you talking about overall or running back?
This is at running back PPR on Fantasy Pros where he sits. Because it looks
22.
Like...
22.
Higher.
28.
No, I meant higher, like... It's a higher number than 22. Oh. Or lower. I'm sorry, lower.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 15.
20.
20.
He's the 20th overall running back. He is below here. And he's in a tier. He's in their tier four. Tier four starts with J.K. Dobbins, David Montgomery, and Miles Sanders, then Darrell Henderson. He is above Miles Gaskin. Check this out. Josh Jacobs.
No.
Mike Davis.
No.
Hunt and Edmonds. That's the tier.
I can't put him ahead of any of those guys. I just can't. You know, look, could he perform better than those guys? Sure. If he fundamentally changes most of the stuff about himself from the first 2 years and whatever, the light bulb goes off and it clicks and it's all working for him in this Rams offense and Stafford has them humming and everything, he's got amazing burst. He is great with the ball in his hands. He's a fun player to watch. I just can't sit here and say that's all going to change in one off season. I just can't.
I legit think you're going to get, like, listen, I'm actually a proponent. Like I push Darrell Henderson a bit. I would draft him, but here's the problem is what I think is going to happen is the crazies are going to see someone who it's like, here is his job. You know, I've talked to you. I've been like, what's the difference between Mike Davis and him in that there's not a lot of other guys in opportunity and offense, blah, blah, blah. But like, guess what? Mike Davis is like three spots lower and he's been in that spot. But like the crazies are going to start making those decisions and they're going to go, you know what? Baltimore has a lot of different guys and J.K. Dobbins just doesn't have a hole. I'm going to go Darrell Henderson. And like, you know, the Bears don't trust David Montgomery. I'm going to go Darrell Henderson. And that's where it's like, you know what? Go ahead. Have your fun. Yeah. But I have Etienne and Jacobs above him. But if you start letting him fall, I think he is worth the risk in it. When you consider some of the other factors that went into the Cam Akers love, you can't just say it's all about the talent. There's also offense. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we might continue this. We've got some crazy video from Dion, some crazy college stuff that's going on as well. So don't go anywhere. In this is a beer back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual
work. Would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back, friends. It is In This League, and we got the In This League store for any of the merch stuff you might want to check out. Maybe that's not your deal. That's all good. But guess what? We do have some pretty badass hoodies. We got a great logo that looks fantastic on some t-shirts that you guys might want to check out, plus mugs and stickers. And we got some not only like could you rock the ITL baseball or football or just the signed logo with you, but you can get a little bit of Boggs Jr. if you know what we're talking about here. I swear, this coming week, we are going to have the Bogman Does Mascots stuff that's going to be on there as well. That 100% is going to happen. Fat Lance, Prospects Assemble, a bunch more. You guys can check it out. It's a little bit of support for ITL if you want to do it. Go to inthisleague.fans. That's inthisleague.fans to check out some ITL merch and pimp it in the wild. Okay, so we kind of set the table there for Cam Akers. You guys know we did it on the podcast before. We talked about it here. I gave you where it's interesting that like ADPs have not adjusted. And I'm kind of fascinated. I'd love to know some of the major sites in how they manipulate, because like, if you do this quick, if you follow like where players are going in ADPs, there's no chance you'll see players like Daryl Henderson be fully adjusted. But I feel like someone goes in and just immediately manipulates and says, we're going to take away all those other drafts and now we'll start from the day of the injury. And then it kind of readjusts the ADP, which isn't necessarily wrong.
I think every week leading up to the season two, you get like double the amount of drafts. So that also helps.
Exactly. By the time we get into like mid-August, you know, the data will look pretty decent. But
yeah,
if you were to, and I don't necessarily why you would, I don't know how everybody consumes their different knowledge, but if you're cruising around on Fantasy Pros and you look at their ADP does not match up the rank. It's, I mean, literally opposite. Rank is at 20. Bogman, you don't agree. I don't agree with a few of them. Like I said, Jacobs and ETN are easy aboves for me than Daryl Henderson. I probably go Kareem Hunt as well.
Yeah, I definitely would.
I think Gaskin is getting close, but I want to do something real quick. I know where you have him, and I don't want you to look at your rank. And I want to do a couple debates in all of the stuff. Think about what I'm talking about also. Like, I know you have a...
You just want me to give you the logic of why I would have Daryl Henderson above or below whatever player.
Yeah, I mean, and right? I know your logic about the physical player, but also, you know, I stand strong a little bit. Like, listen, when Barkley went down, like, you can't just be like, well, the next guy up is going to be great, because Gallman was not. And there's a clear talent different from those, regardless of where you're at. I mean, the Giants also had maybe the worst offensive line on the planet.
So they were rough.
That also plays a toll in it. But it's not a fair comparison. But in this instance, like, Cam Akers is good, but he wasn't Saquon Barkley. And Daryl Henderson is not Wayne Gallman in that respect. That offense is going to have to run the ball. They're acknowledging he's next man up. You know, he's got big burst. There's a possibility that he could be some stuff, and you're now not in a situation where they're battling it out. So what about a few debates? Would you be good?
Yeah. Let's hear him.
Okay. Daryl Henderson versus Chase Edmonds. Now, Chase Edmonds is in a situation where he's only being talked about as the feature back, but he has a real, real true person that can take away all the carries in James Conner. When James Conner is healthy, you know how he is. They've also got a very mobile quarterback in Kyler Murray. Chase Edmonds can play across the ball, but he's guaranteed nothing, and they brought in James Conner. To take all of those considerations in the talent versus Daryl Henderson, who theoretically is the feature back in an offense that really can move the ball with Matthew Stafford and two great receivers, Daryl Henderson or Chase Edmonds?
Yeah, this one to me, first of all, I have him in the same tier. So this is a great debate, right? Because if you wanted to take Daryl Henderson ahead of Chase Edmonds, I'd be like, okay, I get it. You know, no real argument. But my argument for having Edmonds ranked ahead of Henderson would be that you're going into the year, you have this super high-powered offense in Arizona. Chase Edmonds has experience over James Conner, so I think he's at least going to get first crack.
Experience in the offense.
In the offense, yes. James Conner, older, more veteran back than Chase Edmonds, for sure. But Chase Edmonds has been in Arizona now with Cliff Kingsbury for a couple seasons. So I think that's there. We already have that, right? So I think he's going to beat out Conner at least early in the year. Plus, Conner's not going to be able to stay on the field. I think the best thing for James Conner is going to be a 1B back. You know what I mean? So I think it might be more game script. Like, Maybe sometimes it's feed Connor because the rush defense is bad that they're playing. Other days, it's going to be we're going to pass a lot. We're going to have Chase back there. He's going to catch a couple balls. He's also going to run a little bit. So I think that could be a little wonky between those two for sure. And Henderson doesn't have that, right? He doesn't have that.
No.
Xavier Jones right now is not pushing him, right? I think Xavier Jones could. I also think Jake Funk could. So I think that you could get more into a triple-headed monster deal in L.A., with all three of those guys, if Henderson doesn't pull away immediately. I think you're going to get all three of those guys mixed in there. Which would end up being super annoying, or they sign another guy and now he's in the exact same scenario as Chase Edmonds, right? If they sign someone who gets cut, Marlon Mack, whoever, you know what I mean? Someone gets cut, they sign him after a couple weeks. Now they're splitting these carries up. It's going to what happened with CEH last year after they signed Lev Bell. You know, it's the same deal where you just see the production plummet because either they like this guy too much or, you know, they start splitting them. So I think Edmonds is a touch safer.
Yeah, see, it's interesting. And I take that other side of all the things that you laid out where Daryl Henderson is the bet I would rather take. Let's do a couple.
Let's say James Conner gets hurt, right?
Yeah.
Who would you take now that it's Chase Edmonds?
I'd take Chase Edmonds.
You would take Chase Edmonds and it wouldn't be close?
Yeah, it wouldn't be close.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. High-powered offense. Raheem Mostert. Raheem Mostert, relative feature back. Trey Sermon is there, though. It's a run-powered offense where a couple backs can feature, but it doesn't mean one guy ever will or really can eat. They've got a great receiving core. Trey Lance could change the offense. Mostert or Daryl Henderson?
I have
the division, by the way, not purposefully.
These are guys, again, I have in the same tier. I give the edge to Mostert slightly, although we know Mostert is going to be broken up. It's going to be him and Sermon. But this is what they do in San Francisco. You know, Shanahan loves to run the ball. It could even be better for Mostert when Trey Lance comes in running next to him because, you know, run a little option with Trey Lance. That offense could get real fun real fast. So I would be very, very excited about the prospects of that for sure. So I'm going to have Mostert a little bit ahead, although that's one where if Henderson gets any buzz in camp and they say it's clear Daryl Henderson is the guy, he would move right past Mostert for me. So
would
that's
that same
one
thing happen with Edmonds or no?
It could. Yeah. I think for Edmonds, what I would have to hear is something along the lines of, Daryl Henderson is clearly the guy. Chase Edmonds and James Conner are in a dogfight for the number one job. That's what I'd have to hear to move Henderson ahead of Chase Edmonds. But that one is the Mostert and Henderson one is razor thin to me.
All right, here's the last one I'm going to ask you. And by the way, I want to point out Daryl Henderson in PPR is 20. Chase Edmonds was 26, but they were in the same tier for Fantasy Pros. Mm-hmm. Mostert was 28 in the next tier on Fantasy Pros. So tier 4, Daryl Henderson was, tier 5, Mostert was. Both players significantly under Henderson on Fantasy Pros rankers.
Sermon is getting a push, which is bringing Mostert down right now. So that could switch too. I mean, if you hear out of San Francisco, yeah, we got to camp and Sermon's a little bit behind and Mostert's the guy and Mostert's healthy, then I think it wouldn't even be close.
I'm going to ask you this last one, and then I'll try to squeeze in real quick. I'm going to tell you where some of the rankers have him. The last one I'll ask you, because I think these guys are actually very in the same, like kind of the same spot, Daryl Henderson or Damian Harris, who is being talked about as the feature back in New England.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have Daryl Henderson way ahead of Damian Harris. I love Damian Harris. I know he's getting all kinds of buzz. I really want him to break out. I mean, just seeing another successful Bama back in an offense that's pretty good, that could be pretty good with Mac Jones. I don't think it's going to be great with Cam Newton, but I'm excited for him to get the carries. But I mean, I trust Bill Belichick to give one guy the carries. Like I trust myself not to go and grab cookies out of my refrigerator after I've had my medicine.
To order a 50 piece from
ain't gonna happen, right? Ain't gonna happen. You know, I mean, 200 carries. I think LeGarrette Blount was the last guy with 200 carries for the Pat. So All right. That one, I can't move Damian Harris much higher. Like, I have Harris, I think, at 43. I think I have 10 spots below Daryl Henderson.
Yeah, Fantasy Pros rankers. 43. What do you think the highest ranker has Daryl Henderson at?
15.
There is a 15, but that is not the highest.
Oh, my God. 13?
That is not the highest.
Come on. Someone... is it Raju Byfield has him at
it
like
is not. I'll tell you who it is. Someone has him at number 12 in RB1. It is Andy Vanda from a site called Take Your League. Okay. Which sounds very copyrighted. Hey, there's a couple others. Davis Matic from this very network has him at 14. That is a very high one. I see some 15s. David Zach from Fantasy Pros has him at 15. And
look, you're peaking at those, right? You're peaking at that rank. This is Daryl Henderson comes in. Everything that he's done in the NFL has changed. Now he is great in McVay's system. And that offense is clicking on all cylinders the whole year. That's max out Daryl Henderson level.
And
is a number one running back.
Interesting note is the number one most accurate person, Matt Harmon for 2020, has him at RB20. So that is where he's gone. And before the injury, he was going at 121 overall, and he's now moved up to 47 overall post-injury if you look at the draft ECR. So it's interesting stuff as Daryl Henderson moves into the thing, and it'll be ever debated coming into camps and until we get some resolution. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we got to play this fantastic audio about Coach Sanders. Get it right. And some other crazy college stuff, like major colleges calling on other conferences. Don't go anywhere. In this league, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com.eu, made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. We are in this league, which you heard. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to all the pods. Make sure you check out the merch and come and join us on patreon.com/ITLArmy. That's some of the homework. That's some of the stuff that you can do. Boggs, it doesn't matter if the guy was a former player, doesn't matter if he has a big mouth and he's, you know, willing to say whatever, doesn't matter if he's also employed by Barstool Sports. It doesn't matter. When you talk to the coach, you call him the coach. You don't say anything otherwise. And Mr. Coach Deion Sanders, however you want to say it. I mean, I'm not interviewing him, so I'll call him Deion. Deion Sanders, who is the coach of what is the damn school?
Jackson State.
Are they the ones that beat Michigan?
That was Appalachian State.
Appalachian State. Okay. So whatever. Deion Sanders, who's doing lots of stuff, by the way. I mean, I don't know if people pay attention, but like,
he's a Renaissance man. It's all over the place.
He's a head coach, and he's also been an employee with Barstool Sports doing podcasts and making some money. And he was doing all their football, their NFL stuff. Deion is very serious about coaching. Very serious about it. So much so that he was having none of it during a Zoom interview. And check out the audio.
Sus, you're up.
Hey, Deion, I was just wondering if you could...
Oh, let's back up a little bit. You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion. Okay?
I call Nick Saban Nick.
No, you don't. That's a lie. If you call Nick Nick, you know you get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick.
Okay, Deion.
I mean, so if you didn't hear what just happened at the end, there's a couple amazing things. Coach Sanders got up and left after that absolute a-hole of a reporter. He pulled a Jim Rome. He pulled a don't call me Chris again. I bet you will. And he called him again. Deion just told, like, listen, you make a mistake. He made a mistake and he said, hey, Deion. And Deion's like, whoa, have the respect and stuff. And then he kind of held to his guns. He's like, I call Nick, blah, blah, blah. And then they laugh about it. And then absolute in the wrong is the reporter who is a total D-bag who then goes, okay, Deion, I'm all for Coach Sanders here. Deion Sanders, walk out on that, because that guy, you told him what's up. You should get the respect. Guy screwed up. Deion was not horrible here. He just said, hey, whoa. You got to have the respect. You went at the Saban. I thought he was totally reasonable with that. The guy was kind of being a hard on journo. And then he does it again. And Deion was having none of it. Gets up, walks out. Good for him. And it made a bunch of news.
I think the reporter was the bigger jerk in this scenario.
Not even a question.
Yeah. It probably not a question, but also I like Deion saying that, like, you don't call Nick Saban Nick, hardest eye roll I've ever had in my life. Like, what I really don't like, unless you're a doctor or a judge, right? Where you call a judge, Your Honor, you call a doctor, doctor. I have always hated the yes, chef. Like, you're a person that cooks food, dude. You're not doing heart surgeries on babies. You're not saving lives. You're not deciding people's fates. You know what I mean? Do I really have to call you chef?
I know. I agree with you. Like, if you ever been around a person and, hey, listen, you went to school for 8 years. You paid $250,000 for your education. Good for you. But you ever been around someone where you're just like, you know, hey, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, no, doctor. And it's like, okay, please go jump in front of a car. Like, give me a break. You're not going to correct me because I didn't call you doctor.
If I do it one time and they say doctor, great. And then I forget and they do it again, I'm like, come on, man. Like, you being a doctor is not entering this scenario. Are you my doctor? You're not my doctor. Then I don't care. Then you're Fred to me. You know what I mean? Deion, what this guy should have said and what would have been the truth too is, I'm sorry, coach. You know, I grew up with you seeing Deion Sanders on everything. I always called you Deion when I talked about you. So that was just the first thing that popped in my head.
That's if he wanted to be a normal person. This guy was having none of that.
That's the mea culpa to say, look, even if you think Deion is being a jackass, you say, all right, man, I'm sorry. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about it. I just, you know, not, oh, I call Saban Nick and I'm going to call you Deion again. Like Deion, if you say something like that, you make Deion sound like a total ass. You do. If you say, oh, I apologize, blah, 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 blah. But going the other route, the way that this guy did, like, I'll call you Deion again, Deion.
Then, I mean, that's wild ridiculous play. That guy should never be invited back there. I don't know who that was. And also, it's like, it's that type of like, dude, I mean, I'm not a writer. You know, you kind of write more than I do. And I think you enjoy it maybe a little bit more. But like,
I enjoy it less. I know that. 100%. But
like, it's one of those things, there's the pride of journalists and stuff like that. Like, I gotta tell you something, journalists are the worst. They're some of the worst people. They everything some of the about best them. Too. We have some of the most amazing. I mean, I love Eno and I love some, but some of the qualities.
The arrogance that comes with the top of the profession of any
arrogance. It is so beyond.
And it's not just, it's any profession. If you get sometimes to the very tippy top of your profession, or near the tippy top, or within range that you might spend time near someone that is at the tippy top, it comes with some weird arrogance sometimes. Like, I'm not saying that this guy hasn't earned his job, right? He probably did. This is probably a really bad day for him. I bet you if you ask him about it now, he would say, I totally regret all that stuff.
I would agree with everything had he not pulled the Jim Rome.
Yeah, exactly. So just have a little humility. You don't have to. It's Deion Sanders. He is the least humble person that has ever walked the face of the earth.
He'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. He can't stand not being called coach for 2 minutes in a stupid Zoom interview.
But you know what? So he deserves that respect. Like, if Deion would have on the first
really,
step.
I'm not saying that.
Doesn't mean I don't think he's an a-hole, by the way. If he corrects me to do it, like, okay, like, sorry, I screwed up, but like, see, you're going to correct
you're
me.
You're sounding like the guy who would call the guy chef, too. Like, he earned it. He earned it. He is a chef. You have to, you know, work
but
for a long time to earn it.
If he corrected me after, here's what I do. I'll have enough respect to be like, okay, that important to you? Sure, I'll do that. I absolutely will think you are the biggest D-bag on the planet when I'm done and I'll walk away. But if I were in a setting with a bunch of reporters in a professional place, it's not the time to pull on my Opie and Anthony play, which he was doing. That's what he was doing. I mean, the Jim Rome play. You're not that guy. You're not that guy, bud. You're just some a-hole that's on Zoom and you ruined it for everybody else. If he wants to feel that way, unfortunately he's earned it. But I know he's a it's a weird play and stuff like that. Look, but I don't know.
I think this is a dumb argument. I think it's absurd. It's unbelievably eye rolling on both sides. If I had to pick a side, I would pick Dion.
Yeah,
you because I look, who's interviewing who? You know what I mean?
Dion is giving you his time. Absolutely.
Why don't you think about why you're there? Yeah, are you there to insult the person that you're asking questions?
And he
to?
Did, and that's you're what not. He did. He right. openly insulted him.
100%. So if I have to pick a side, I'm definitely on Dion's side in this argument. But I think Dion getting upset is eye rolling. This guy getting upset back, even more eye rolling. It's just a ridiculous argument.
On the college front, a really fascinating thing I saw pop up on Wednesday, and I want to get your take on this. We've got like about 5 minutes to get into it and a little bit on the next segment. But Texas, UT, your school, and your arch nemesis, Oklahoma, both reached out to the SEC about possibly joining the conference. And there was a lot of nastiness during the COVID stuff. And I think the Big 12 got under people's skin and blah, blah, blah. But Texas and Oklahoma reaching out to the SEC, which would be a devastating. I don't know what the Big 12 does. To
it would
recover.
Sink.
It would sink. It'd be, I don't know how you recover. What school do you go get? Do you throw every dollar you have Notre Dame?
You bring it no, because if Notre Dame goes, they're going to go to the ACC.
I'm just saying. Like, yeah, no. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, there's nothing. You probably try to bring in some of the top P5 or G5 schools.
How much validity do you think is to this? Do you think this is a real? Thing?
I think it's going to happen. So,
you think both schools
not,
are going
not
to
not anytime
SEC?
Soon? Look, Texas and Oklahoma both have contracts with the Big 12 through 2025, and they would have to pay. I think it's something like to break that contract just to pay the TV deal. It's something like $75 million per school per year. So it's not anything that can happen anytime soon, but they also both had the option to extend their agreement with the Big 12 and declined it. And that was in the last couple of days here.
Is it political? Is it political?
No,
or is
it's
it
not
how...
political. It's about getting the exposure that the SEC is getting, because the SEC keeps getting the best recruits, because you have Alabama, LSU, Florida, some of the best teams in the country in the SEC, the most watched teams. Georgia is obviously amazing too. Mississippi, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, like all of these awesome schools are there. They're getting all the recruits. Texas and Oklahoma are two giant schools getting, not scraps, but they're not getting what they could if they were in the SEC, if they were playing teams like LSU and Bama and Auburn and all of these good schools. They get more national exposure, and they're carrying the Big 12 on their back right now. I mean, Oklahoma is as far as winning goes. Texas is as far as one of the most popular teams in the country. So I think if both of them move to the SEC, I mean, is the SEC going to say no? Maybe they lose a couple recruits, but they get way more TV with Oklahoma and Texas coming in, and they're going to make more money in revenue having both these teams too. So it would be hard for them to pass it up. Why would they? And why would Texas and Oklahoma not want to go and get better recruits and be better? So I think it makes a lot of sense on both sides.
It's fascinating to hear you say, I mean, and I am with no
Texas was trying sarcasm. To get to the SEC for a while. The only reason they have the Longhorn Network is because the Big 12 had to agree to do that to get Texas to not go to the SEC.
And with no like sarcasm, because I know like I just spew it all the time in my voice, but like you are a legit like college expert. Like you do college fantasy, you've done college multiple college podcasts for years. Like if there's someone that knows this, to hear you say that, like not only is this like not just a threat, but you think this is going to happen, this is a big deal. Like the landscape of college sports changing from NILs, the amount of money that's being thrown around, to potential tournaments, to one of the biggest conferences that literally
the NCAA
could fold.
Commissioner was talking about how maybe we just need to deregulate college sports and the NCAA shouldn't be as involved. The commissioner of the NCAA said that. So
yeah, what are they good for at this point?
The NIL is changing the entire scope of college football, and I think it's going to be better for the game moving forward. I know a lot of people don't, but I just think anytime you're paying people for their work, you're going to get a better performance.
I agree.
And a more passionate performance, too.
The one thing I would say to you that does, and I think many people have said before, so this isn't a new statement. I don't listen to a lot of it, so in my mind, this is a fresh statement. But what affects this more than anything else is now with this type of money on the line, like, it's not just like going to a big school. Like, going to a big school is going to pay you. Like, being a quarterback at Oklahoma means more than it ever did before.
And
being
Bryce Young hasn't started a game at Alabama and he's already in the six figures.
Exactly.
In like money. So
you can make a career's worth of money being a fresh freshman recruit to Oklahoma and never throwing a pass.
Think of how much money Tim Tebow could have made in college.
I think he would have walked out of he would have walked into the NFL with $10 million already in his pocket.
At least. I think that number's way low, by the way. I think it's closer to 50.
So it does change, I believe, the competitive balance of teams now, where it is more Yankee Red Sox or however you want to, you know, Cowboy Patriot or however you want to look at it in college sports than it ever was before. Because you'd have players be like, well, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to transfer so I can get playing time. What do these guys care at this point? Like, if you are a quarterback of Oklahoma, even a backup, you could probably make a six-figure deal. It's wild in all of the landscape. And then you'd have two of the biggest college teams moving to a new conference, which would sink another. It would be devastating. We got to go to break. We come back. It's a little bit more Bogman and the Welsh, at least ending out hour two. Hour three coming up. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Welcome back, friends. Final segment of hour two. In this league is not going anywhere. We still got an entire another hour, but it will be with Bubba and Bogman, our boy Casey Bubba, tagging in, and you guys will be covering all the stuff that we did not cover. Bogman, final take. I kind of took over those last couple minutes there on the college side of how I think it changes the competitive nature, but that was more about NILs, not right. So much about the conference stuff. What do you got on your final take of the college side?
Well, Texas and Oklahoma moving the SEC is almost an inevitability to me at this point. But I know Dan Wetzel wrote an article today about, and he wrote Death to the BCS, really respect his opinion, but how if Texas wants to leave, they should go independent. But I think that we're going to get this 12-team tournament at some point, and to get a bye, you're going to have to be in a division or in a conference, excuse me. And like Notre Dame, they can't be independent when that comes up, because then your highest seed you can get is 5. You can't get 1, 2, 3, or 4. So I think Notre Dame is going to join the ACC. I think Texas and Oklahoma are going to end up going to the SEC. The Big 12, they'll bring in other schools and they'll probably be okay. But I could see reformatting into just way bigger conferences too. I think the whole landscape could change. So some of these smaller schools might start to get absorbed. So you really need to perform well in the next couple of years, I think, to get absorbed by a good conference if you're a G5 team.
I think there's a good platform.
A lot is going to be changing.
Well, I think there's a good platform, like 6 to 8 conferences, and just put everybody in there. And it's all under the umbrella of college football. And it doesn't have to be the Big 10, the Big 12. There could be 20 teams under it. Put all your 100 and whatever college teams there are under 6 conferences that equate to a tournament. That equate, you know, to a conference champion.
It could start turning into soccer tournament too, where you play your way into a different conference. You
know? Maybe. Yeah, sure. Exactly. But, you know, NFL, it's got its conferences. Just do the same thing and don't have all the different, you know, independents. You just, everybody gets slapped in it. The landscape is changing, man. And a good person to make sure you're locked into is Bogman. He's got the ITL CFF podcast. Plus you've got the CFB Winning Edge. There's a lot of good stuff in there, and get his takes, and there'll be more coming in other places. Friends, don't go anywhere, because hour three is coming up. I step out, Bubba comes in. So In This League is going nowhere, though I am.